Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you? Well, however you're doing, you're going to be a little bit better because we have a very special treat to kick off our contemporary service today. Please welcome the Joy Choir as they come and perform for us.
Life was easier when I was in the Joy Choir. Morning. You know, they always say that you shouldn't hit your high point at the beginning of a service, but I think we did, because I don't know anything we can do to top the Joy Choir. It's always such a joy and blessing to have them with us. First of all, good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Welcome to our launch service. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a blessing to be with you this morning. If you are visiting, we are so thankful that you are here. We hope that you find our worship to be spirit-filled and our people to be very welcoming. I have one quick announcement this morning. This Sunday, today, is Stone Soup Sunday. So we'll engage in the Stone Soup Mission down at Quapaw Quarter UMC. And that's going to take place at 1:30 today. So if you can make it down there to serve, we would love to have you with us. But if you can't make it, simply please take a moment and pray for the folks that will be part of that wonderful mission. With that being said, as we begin our time of worship together, let's stand up, take a moment, and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Worship with us this morning.
Finish what you begin. Our provision through the desert, you see it through till the end. Oh, you see it through till the end. Oh, the Lord our God is ever faithful, never changed. Good.
All your plans
are for your glory. Yes, we can know you are good. Oh, yes, we can know you are good. Yeah. The Lord our God is ever faithful, never changing through the ages. From this darkness, you will lead us and forever we will say, you're the Lord our God. Yeah. We won't move without you. We won't move without you. No, you're the light of all and all that we need. Yeah. We won't move without you. Through the ages, from this darkness, you will lead us, and forever we will say, you're the Lord our God, and forever we will say, you're the Lord our God, and forever we will say, you're the Lord our God. Oh.
Amen. Song's called He Lives. Amen.
See the tomb where He laid. See the stone rolled away. He is risen. He is risen. He's alive. Hands, see His feet, touch His scars and believe. He is risen, He is risen, He's alive. Oh,
He's alive.
Oh, He's alive. He lives. All honor and power are His. All glory. The shackles breaking free. Hear the song of the redeemed. He is moving, He is moving, He's alive. Yeah. So take this freedom, take this love. You can feel it rising up. He is here, He is here, He's alive. He lives. Oh, He lives. All
all our shame.
You took all our shame, left it in the grave. We're forgiven, we're forgiven. The work forever done, only by the blood, it is finished, it is finished.
You took all our shame.
You took all our shame, left it in the grave. We're forgiven. finished. It is finished. Oh, when he lives, all honor and power are his. All glory forever. Amen. Jesus, oh, he lives. All honor and power are his. All glory forever. Amen. Jesus lives. Jesus lives.
Amen.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. He is worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you, God. We're singing, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Worthy of every song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. He is worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. We're singing, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to the Lord. on your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not
be shaken. One more time, I will build my life.
And I will build my life.
Amen. Have a seat. As we prepare for our time of tithes and offerings, I want to invite any children that are going to go to Kids Club this morning to go with Mrs. Amy Livers here. She's going to take them. That's ages 3 through 2nd grade if you want them to go. If you want them to stay here and worship, we would love to have them. We love having them in here running around. And they are all going to go as they make their way out. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this time together in community as your children, as believers. God, you continue to pour out so many blessings onto us, some seen, some unseen. And for that today, we give you thanks. But we also come to you in a complete time of trust and faithfulness, that you are guiding us down the road you call us to go down. You continue to bless us with the resources and the gifts that are more than we could ever ask for. So in this time of offering, let us give back to you, trusting and knowing that you will put our resources to work for the building of your kingdom in Little Rock and around the world. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.
When I tell people that I work at Asbury, a church, they ask me, what's it like? What's Asbury like? And I always tell them, you'll meet the nicest people. And every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time I'm there, God is there. You can feel his presence. And this song is called Here Is in Heaven. And it just fit the service so perfectly. God is doing great things at this church and this service. And I just felt that this was about Asbury when I heard it the other day. The atmosphere's changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around.
Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love, surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, surrounds us. Atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Look around.
The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love, your love.
Hey.
miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
A miracle can happen. Sing it out.
A miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Sometimes the perfect song comes at just the right time, and there's no doubt that the Holy Spirit is involved in that. It's a blessing to be with all of you this morning. It's Transfiguration Sunday, right? Or at least that's what we call it on the Christian calendar and the Christian year. What it's supposed to represent is this last Sunday of Epiphany, and then we move on to Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, and the Lent season starts. But for me, I've always viewed it a little differently. Lent truly starts for me this morning on Transfiguration Sunday. Because I think if we're really going to take the journey together that we're going to take in the coming weeks, which is walking to the cross, we need to know who exactly we're walking to the cross with. And I think sometimes in the busyness of our lives and in the ups and downs and trials that we go through, we sometimes forget. And we sometimes reclassify Jesus in a different way. So this morning, let's spend some time really looking at Jesus, who he is, and what he means for us now. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come to you today as your faithful and loving children. And we all come to you a little differently. Some of us come in this morning with the wind at our sails and things are going great. Some of us come in lukewarm, and some of us come in down and lost and hurt and full of doubt and full of anxiety. And God, we know that you welcome all into your embrace. So we ask in a powerful and mighty way, God, that you make us whole this morning. That you lift us up so that we can better fulfill your will in the world. God, this morning we pray for our church, for Asbury United Methodist Church, and the United Methodist Church as a whole. As we move through this season of anxiety, as we move through this season of discernment, let us remember that we are all your children. And let us remember that our love for you, that our love for Christ, for what he has done for us, will always carry the day. God, we ask that you are with those, our brothers and sisters around the world, who wake up in places where your word is not known, where your word is not allowed. And we ask that you move through them in a powerful and mighty way, that you provide for them a hedge of protection so that they can move freely to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to others. God, this morning we pray for our country, we pray for the world leaders, and we pray for this season of anxiety to move through us. Be the steady, calming hand that we need so that we do not get distracted, we don't lose focus of the mission you call us for, to make disciples in Jesus' name. And God, we ask that you are with us this morning in this moment, that you deliver the message we most need to hear. But for that to happen, God, you have to get me out of the way and take center stage. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. The 105th verse of the 119th Psalm says the following: your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. That is the 105th verse of the longest psalm and the longest chapter of any book of the Bible. It gets stuck right there in the middle because there's 176 verses to Psalm 119, so sometimes it's easy to miss that. And when we think of the Psalms, we think of them often as just these heartfelt poems, these poems of lament. But C.S. Lewis said something really interesting about Psalm 119. He said, instead of it being a heartfelt poem, it is a pattern. It is a thing done like embroidery, stitch by stitch, through long, quiet hours for the love of the subject. That's a lot like God's story, isn't it? God is working stitch by stitch, long hour after long hour for the love of the subject. And that subject is you. Let me give you an example. In the Soviet Union in the 1930s, Joseph Stalin issued an edict. And what that edict stated was that all Christian Bibles were to be rounded up and burned, and all Christians were to be rounded up and put in concentration camps. As the message reached a town called Stavropol, the officials went to work to carry out Stalin's edict. They rounded up all of the Christians and they put them in camps. They rounded up all the Bibles. But instead of burning them, they locked them in a warehouse. Fast forward to 1994. The Soviet Union and communism there fell, thankfully. And it was at that time that Christian missionaries were finally able to return to that country to bring the gospel to the Russian people. They asked to bring a bunch of Bibles with them. They ordered a bunch of Bibles that were in Russian. And when they got there, these Bibles were delayed. So in Stavropol, these missionaries, trying to figure out what to do, encounter a Russian official that says, hey, you know what, we've got a warehouse just outside of town that has over 60,000 Bibles in it. You're welcome to use them. And so obviously this was more than the missionaries could carry. So they hire a bunch of men that could get a day's wage for loading these Bibles into these trucks. And among that group of men was an angry, bitter agnostic. He could care less about the Bibles, but he could certainly use a day's pay. And so they're at the warehouse, and these men are loading up these trucks. And the team looks around, and they notice that this man, this agnostic man, was missing. And so they go to look for him. And they find him huddled in the corner of the warehouse. What the agnostic had done was he decided he was going to steal one of the Bibles for himself, one of the 60,000, because nobody will miss it. He goes to a corner of the warehouse to read it. He opens the Bible, and on the front cover is his grandmother's signature. It was his grandmother's Bible. Out of the 60,000 Bibles that he could have grabbed, that was the one he grabbed. And so when they found him, he was weeping. That man went on to be a great disciple for God. God continues to work in the darkest places. And it makes me think about us this morning, because I think, like I said in the prayer, we all come a little differently this morning. Some are coasting in here as bright as these overhead lights. Some are somewhere in the middle. And some of us, like this candle here, are just barely hanging on. Now, that might be God's way of telling us we need more oil. But that is also God's way of reminding us that we all come at different stages of our life to Him with different baggage, with different weight on our shoulders. And the only way that we can truly release that weight is to fully understand who Jesus Christ is, to fully understand what He did and what it means for us. Because even though we have the light, we're all believers here. We've all accepted Jesus Christ. We still move through the darkness at times. And the thing that gives me the most anxiety and causes me to lose the most sleep is the amount of people that are around us every day that we bump into that either don't know or choose not to accept that light. So I want us to spend some time this morning to really see Jesus clearly so we know exactly what we're walking towards. Follow along with me. Our scripture this morning is from Peter's second letter, chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. You can follow along on the screen. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses to His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is My Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Excuse me. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. There are a million things, a million events, a million occurrences that Peter could have written about when he wrote this letter. He could have written about the resurrection. He watched Jesus walk on water. He watched Jesus feed the 5,000. He saw miracle after miracle, healing after healing. He watched Him raise a man from the dead. But instead, Peter chooses to write about a moment on a mountaintop in which he finally saw Jesus for who He really was. That moment is what we call the Transfiguration. You heard Larissa read it beautifully, by the way. The Greek word for transfiguration is metamorphai. And what that translates into essentially is the word metamorphosis. And what metamorphosis means is it means a change, a complete change from one thing into another. But you know the way metamorphosis occurs? From the inside out. That's what makes the idea of the Transfiguration so powerful that Peter wanted to write about it. This was also at a time where Christians were heavily persecuted when Peter wrote this letter. They were being killed. They were being burned alive. They were being imprisoned. And so instead of talking about what Jesus did, he drives hope in us understanding who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and who Jesus will always be. And he does it in a very, very interesting way. In three ways, actually. The first is he says that we were there. We were eyewitnesses to this glory. And if you know this part of the Bible well, the Transfiguration is actually the third part of three events that will happen that Jesus uses to reveal Himself, His true nature, to the disciples. You remember the moment at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Well, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And you read that and you're like, he finally gets it. But he didn't, right? Because what happens immediately after that? Jesus begins to tell them, it's time to go to Jerusalem. It's time for me to get on the cross, to die, and to be resurrected. And Peter, in a very human moment, tells him what? You don't need to do that. You're too powerful. You don't need to do that to inherit the world. And what does Jesus say? One of the most powerful lines in the New Testament, get behind me, Satan. Was he calling Peter Satan? No. He was saying, I've heard this before. I heard this in the wilderness. When I was told that all I had to do was surrender to you, Satan, and I can have it all. I don't have to walk this painful road to the cross. I don't have to go through the hurt. I don't have to go through the pain. I don't have to go through the fear. I just have to surrender to you. So Jesus is saying, I have heard this before. 6 days later, he takes his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, to the Mountain of Transfiguration. And they see a change. His skin shines. His clothes bright white, whiter than anything you could imagine. And the sight is overwhelming. But that doesn't stop Peter from being the blabbermouth that he is. Because what does Peter say? It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting us. And Jesus is, duh. He sees Jesus transfigured and glowing. He sees Moses and Elijah, though he can't hear what they're saying, he sees them there. The radiance of Christ, the affirmation of life after death, Moses and Elijah. And what is Peter's response? You know, here's the thing about Peter. Do you have one of those friends who just talks all the time? Or are you one of those friends that talks all the time? What I have found about people like that, I've got some in my circle. I'm probably one of them. Occasionally, an incredible nugget slips out. But you got to kind of filter through all the dumb things they say. Peter says, it is so great that we're here. Jesus, thank you. You know what we should do? We should build a condo for you and for Moses and for Elijah. And you guys can all live there together. And Peter can't get the words out of his mouth before God intervenes. And what does he say? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. He has been there from the beginning. He will be there until the end. He is not a prophet. He is not a teacher of the law. What he is the affirmation of the law. He is the predicted result of every prophet. He is the story foretold. The disciples drop to their feet because they are so overwhelmed. Because it took so long to get it. It took so long to understand who Jesus actually was. He wasn't just a rabbi or a great teacher or just some guy who gave us a guidebook on how to live and be nice to each other. He was the living God. And that's overwhelming. We get guilty of that sometimes today. I think we like to build a shelter for Jesus. And we like to get him out at times. We like to get him out on Sundays and get him out on Wednesdays and get him out when things are going good. My life is going so good right now, I am clearly blessed. But when we're down in our darkest places, we wonder why God is so distant. God isn't distant. God is right there. We just have to be able to see it. He talks about the scripture. He says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place. He's saying what you find in the scripture, what you read in the Word of God is 100% true. Every prophecy, every predicted prophecy in that Bible came true. When it comes to predictions, the Bible's batting 1,000. I read an interesting study when I was putting this message together this week. And it dealt with absolute truths. The study said that 28% of Americans today believe that there is such a thing as absolute truths. And that didn't strike me as all that troubling until I read further into the study. And it said that only 23% of Christians believe that there are absolute truths in America today. That means more than 75% of Christians in America believe that that truth is relative based on your circumstance. What Peter is telling us in this message, in this letter, is that Jesus is an absolute truth. When Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," nobody gets to the Father but through me. Do we believe that to be an absolute truth? Do we believe that to be that that is the only way? And does your heart break and do you cry for those that haven't gotten there yet? When we are together every Sunday, I want us to intentionally pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are moving in dangerous places to bring the gospel. They risk their life to bring the gospel because it is that important. That's what Peter's saying here. He's saying, we saw the glory of God. We saw the affirmation of everything come true. And when we think about the darkest places, we think about the toughest places around the world to bring the gospel, what do we think of? Do we think of sub-Saharan Africa, where in the last 20 years, the number of Christians has gone from 23% to 48%? Do we think of it in Latin America, where the number has more than doubled, or Asia? Here's an interesting fact for you. In 1910, the World Missionary Council was held in Edinburgh, Scotland. The reason why it was held there was because it was the most thriving and lively place for missionary work in the world. Today, a little over 100 years later, 3% of Edinburgh attends church. The mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, of living this transformation into the life of others, is right here on our doorstep. The opportunity is everywhere. It bumps into us each and every day. And it's easy for us to move about in the world and get anxious. We're anxious about what's going on in our country. We're anxious about our church. We're anxious about what's going on in our lives, the ups and downs. But we have a powerful, powerful message. It is the truth set on fire. And we are equipped to deliver it. In that anxiety, it's easy to lose sight of who Jesus is. It's easy to lose sight of what he has done for us. And what we find is that when we let Jesus slip away, the weight of all of our burdens get heavier and heavier and heavier, sort of like the guy in that picture, right? But when we are willing to see Christ for who he really is, as the Son of the living God, who is never changing, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is nothing in our culture that can change that, we are able to let those burdens go. We are able to lay them at the feet of the cross as we move through this season of Lent together. Because Christ wants to carry that baggage for you. We just have to be willing to walk that road. We have to be willing to move towards that cross with him. And if we can do that, if we can do it with the wonder of the disciples, we can deliver a message that is powerful and life-changing. And just along the way, God may change you as well. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get caught up. We get confused. And we know that that is just our own anxiety, fear, and doubt working on us. So we ask this morning that you take that burden, that you continue to move and work through us in a mighty way, that you equip us with the strength and the attitude and the reverence that is worthy of your glory. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen. Our last song is the song of invitation. And what that means is whatever you need it to mean for you. If you want to take this time and pray, we would love for you to join us down at the prayer rails. We have our prayer board, which was a cross, but after a hearty game of dodgeball, right, Larissa? But we put them back, and we continue to pray for them. If today's the day that you wish to reaffirm your faith, come up here and we can do that. If you love being part of Asbury and been visiting for a while and you want to join, come on up and we can do that as well. Or maybe you just want to stay right where you are and be moved by the Holy Spirit during this last song, however you choose to do it. But let's be standing as we sing this final song together.
More than anything that you
just want you. I just want you and nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. Oh, I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence. And I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you, Lord, more than anything that you can do. Oh, I just want you.
Amen. It's been great being with all of you today. Just two quick announcements. We have church council and a mini charge conference happening right after this service in the warehouse. That is open to all church members, so you are welcome to come. I can't remember who asked me. We're not serving lunch. Somebody asked me that earlier. I'm sorry, but we'll try to make the meeting go quickly. Secondly, Ash Wednesday being this week, it's at 6:30 in the sanctuary. I really hope all of you are there. And I know you're going to spend the next couple of days racking your mind about what to give up. So some of you are probably going to give up chocolate, and some of you may give up other things, and there may be a mass exodus off of Facebook, which I hope not, because then you won't know what's going on at the church. But I challenge you to do this a different way this year, and that's to add something to your life. Add something that enhances your spiritual formation. Praying more, studying Scripture more, whatever it might be. Maybe you fast a meal each day or a couple times a week to draw you closer. Because when we see Christ for who he really is, when we grow in our faith, it better equips us to go out and really fulfill that great commission. Receive this benediction. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that moves within you. And may peace be your way in the world. Go in peace. We'll see you Wednesday. Oh, no.